to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. Joining us is John Rossomondo. He is the senior counterterrorism analyst at an institution that I, among many others, regard as indispensable to the fight against the jihad, namely the Investigative Project on Terrorism, best known for its founder's long work in this space, Stephen Emerson. John Rossomondo contributes mightily to our understanding of what we are facing in the way of, I think of it as Sharia supremacism, through his writings at IPT and elsewhere. It's always a delight to have him with us. John, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Frank.
Let me ask you about the Muslim Brotherhood, John. You've been following them closely. It seems that in the aftermath of the overthrow of the Morsi regime by General el-Sisi, now the president of Egypt, that they sort of shifted their base of operations substantially, or at least their headquarters, shall we say, to Turkey. Would you talk about the relationship of the Turkish government to the Muslim Brotherhood and what that portends for their original base of operations in Egypt?
Well, the government of Turkey has been a big supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. The AKP, which is President Erdogan's party, has long been connected with the Muslim Brotherhood, going back to some of its predecessors in the late 60s. Then it's been a big supporter of the Brotherhood. It's given many Brotherhood leaders safety in Istanbul, where many of them hold court. They formed a group called the Egyptian Revolutionary Council, which doesn't have a lot of creds inside of Egypt. But nonetheless, they were embraced by the Obama administration as a legitimate expression of the Brotherhood and, you know, what they would say was a legitimate regime. But they've since turned to supporting violence. They posted videos over the past month showing that they support revolution, violent revolution inside of Egypt. And we also have the problem of Turkish intelligence, the MIT, supporting, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria. They've been a huge supporter of different Islamist groups. And, you know, getting back to Egypt, they frequently will see the four-finger salute that these Muslim Brotherhood guys, that originated with Erdogan. So that gives you a little bit of an idea.
Let me ask you to drill down on this point, because I think that it's a subject on which General H.R. McMaster, the president's national security advisor, is ill-informed, shall we say, the least. And that is this idea that there are these nonviolent Islamists within the Muslim Brotherhood with whom we can safely work and negotiate, even employ, I guess, that our best bulwark against the violent Islamists of, I guess, in some cases, the Muslim Brotherhood stripe itself, and certainly some of the groups that it has spawned, like the Islamic State. What's your thinking, John, on this idea that there are good Islamists and there are bad Islamists, and violence is kind of the defining fault line between them?
Well, let's just put it this way. The Muslim Brotherhood is a shrewd organization. They use political means as a tactic. There was an excellent article by Hudson Institute and George Washington University counterterrorism analyst Mokhtar Awad, where he found an interview on a pro-MB satellite network based in Turkey, where you have a senior Muslim Brotherhood leader saying that peacefulness, as they say, is a tactic. It's not part of who the Brotherhood is or who Islam is. This is this guy speaking. And he was connected with a member of the Muslim Brotherhood's Guidance Bureau, which is its top organ named Muhammad Kamal, who put together a network of terrorist groups to attack against Sisi. I mean, they started blowing up property, police stations, electrical transmission lines. And then they started getting more and more violent. They started cooperating with ISIS. There was an attack in Helwan, Egypt, just outside of Cairo, in May of 2016, where both ISIS and this popular revolutionary movement, which was part of Kamal's network, both claimed responsibility for killing two Egyptian police officers.
Interesting. So it's sort of reminiscent of their view of democracy as well as peacefulness. Famously, their sponsor now in Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is known to have said that democracy is like a streetcar. You take it to your destination and then you get off. And so these snares and delusions are things that, having been suckered into them before, notably under the Bush 43 and Obama administration, most especially, we'd be damn fools to go for it again. This kind of activity, though, is being greatly promoted and enabled by the government of Qatar, John Rossomondo. And as you know, they do that, among other things, by sort of operating the propaganda arm of these Sharia supremacists, the Muslim Brotherhood and others besides, in addition, of course, to, you know, subventions to the Islamic State and so on. Talk a little bit about Qatar and the ongoing, well, it seems, challenge to what they're up to by the Saudis, the Egyptians, and others.
Well, the thing about Qatar is it wants to be a state unto itself. I mean, I think it suffers from an insecurity complex, being overshadowed in the past by Saudi Arabia, by Bahrain, and its neighbors. So it started a policy in the 90s of supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, supporting Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. And one of the main things I found in my research is that Al Jazeera requires its people to either be Brotherhood members or to be supportive of the Brotherhood. And then they'll take people who are in the Brotherhood over somebody who's not. I mean, it's kind of like, you have certain societies in the U.S., if you belong to a fraternity, for example, they'll take a member of their fraternity before they'll take somebody outside. It's the same sort of principle at work in Al Jazeera. And I found in my research that several members of Al Jazeera have also been Al-Qaeda members. I mean, there was one Al Jazeera journalist who was picked up by Pakistani authorities after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan in 2001 and handed over to the U.S. and he was sent to Guantanamo Bay because they wanted to know what he knew about Al Jazeera's involvement in arming the Chechen jihadists. And you also had another guy by the name of Ali Zaidan, who's a Al-Qaeda Muslim Brotherhood guy who is on Al Jazeera, and he was fingered in a slide that Edward Snowden leaked to Glenn Greenwald. So there's a big overlap, and also Osama bin Laden wrote in several emails that were captured in Abbottabad about just how important Mr. Zaidan and Al Jazeera was for Al-Qaeda to get its message out.
It is an instrument of political information warfare on behalf of our Islamist enemies. John Rossomondo, your work in documenting all of this and helping to clarify what's actually going on is incredibly valuable. We appreciate it. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.